Well, I want to ask you to take your Bibles, find Mark chapter 14, and I want to take a moment and I want to share with you one more angle of the story that you may have never really heard before. Now, we've shared in the Lord's Supper, we have heard music, we've watched it on video, we've prayed together, but there's one last situation, one person that I just want to kind of point out to you in Scripture. And I'm just going to take a few moments to do it because you know him. You, out of all the 12 disciples, he is one. If you struggle remembering names, I guarantee you, you know his name. In fact, I could go out to Target or Walmart right now and I could tell people, hey, tell me the names of the 12 disciples. And some might say Peter, some might say James, some might say John, but I bet you a whole lot of them would say this guy's name. In Mark chapter 14, what you find here is you see a man who evidently, he just failed to ultimately worship Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you know his name. His name is Judas. In Mark chapter 14, it tells us in verse 10, then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought an opportunity to betray him. Judas has gone down in history as the one who's betrayed Jesus Christ, as scoundrel of scoundrels, as the great, great hypocrite and betrayer. In fact, to the point that when was the last time you ever met someone who just had a baby, and they said, I'd like you to meet our new baby boy. This is baby Judas. Some of you, I look out in the crowd, I see some of you who are school teachers or you've been school teachers. I mean, when was the last time you were going to the classroom the first day of school and you said, okay, Judas? Where's Judas? No, that just doesn't happen, right? In fact, here's a baby name book. This is the book we use when they prepare like the certificates and the stuff for me to present for parent-child dedication. You know, you can't, when you go to the section of the names that start with J in these baby name books, you have a hard time finding the name Judas. People just don't want to name a child Judas because of what that has come to be known. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 17, verse 12. Jesus called Judas a son of perdition. The word perdition literally means waste. That's why I want to just remind us today that we ought not to waste our lives. Judas is the story of a wasted life. And I just want to kind of give you three takeaways from the life of Judas here. I mean, Judas is there at the Last Supper. You can see it on Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting. Judas is pictured there. You know, da Vinci painted him with the bag of money right there with him on the table. And the disciples, you find when you read Scripture, are absolutely, they would have never guessed that Judas is the one who's going to betray Jesus. And that leads me to the first takeaway here. I want you just to understand this. Number one, we can fake a relationship with Christ. We can fake a relationship with Christ. In fact, over and over again in the Bible, when Judas is mentioned, Judas is always, it's always said of Judas that Judas, one of the 12. You always have that phrase, one of the 12. And I think the New Testament writers, the apostles of Christ, they just never got over the fact that, hey, Judas was one of us. He's one of the 12. I mean, imagine this. They're gathered there, and there may have actually been a larger crowd there at this Last Supper, but seated right there with Jesus are the 12. Kind of picture this. Right here on one row are the 12. And Jesus says, it's going to be one of the 12 is going to betray me. I mean, Jesus is saying, this is going to be one of those closest to me. The Bible says in verse 19 of Mark chapter 14, they began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one after another, is it I? Is it I? Even at that moment, there was the thought in all of their minds, you know what? Could it be me? And it reminds us that each and every one of us need to examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we need to examine ourselves and to make sure that we're not faking a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, when I think about Judas, I think about the 3 years he spent with Jesus. How close he was to Jesus. Verse 20 says that Jesus said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. I mean, he was close enough that they could dip their bread into the same bowl. I mean, I love Mexican food. I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I mean, I just love Mexican more and more every week, every day. I mean, I could go like there with you this afternoon. I mean, I could, and I just ate there like Friday night probably, all right? I mean, and when you go to these Mexican restaurants, what's so marvelous about it is just like almost before you're in your seat, they're bringing baskets of chips and they're bringing salsa. I mean, they were sitting close enough, kids, they could have eaten chips out of the same basket and dipped it in the same bowl of salsa. I mean, they were close. Yet, I wrote this down. You can be close to Jesus, but not changed by Jesus. And that is what is so, so mind-boggling about Judas is he had, listen, for 3 years, he had heard Jesus teach. He heard Jesus teach the parable of the Good Samaritan, the talk about the prodigal son and the lost sheep. He had seen Jesus do the miracles. He had seen him. He had helped Jesus with passing out the bread and the fish at the feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000. He had seen Jesus walk on the water. Acts chapter 1 alludes to the fact that Judas had been baptized by John the Baptist like the rest of them just 3 years earlier. Yet he fails to worship Christ and wastes his opportunity. You know, we can fake a relationship with Christ. So we have to ask the question of ourselves, am I a follower or am I a faker? Number two, I wrote this down. We can not only fake a relationship with Christ, but we can break the heart of Jesus Christ. In verse 20 of Mark 14, you see there how Jesus has described how close that he is to him, one of the 12. He's dipping bread into the dish with me. We get a little bit more from the Apostle John. In John chapter 13, we're told that Jesus, when he's describing him, he actually talks about how he is troubled in his spirit. It's the same word used of Jesus when Jesus was there at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus who had died. We're told that he was troubled, and later we're told that Jesus wept. Jesus was troubled in his spirit. The idea that Judas would not accept the grace and mercy and redeeming work of Christ broke Christ's heart. It troubled him deep in his spirit. Now you say, well, maybe Jesus didn't know all along. I mean, no, understand this. John chapter 6 teaches us that Jesus knew all along. In fact, in verse 64 of John chapter 6, we're told that Jesus says there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus isn't shocked by his betrayal, but his heart is broken by the prospect that Judas is going to betray him. I want you to understand this morning how important it is for us not to waste our lives, for us to understand, for us to catch a clue about what Jesus has done for us. And on this Palm Sunday, in the midst of, you know, usually when we gather together, man, we want to celebrate. Man, you know, I prayerfully hope that I share with you encouraging messages, you know, takeaways that you can take with you and that you can use with your family and that you can put into your life. But understand, on this Palm Sunday, before we get to the Easter celebration we're going to enjoy next week, I want to just ask you, take some time today and this week and just consider the question, are we wasting the opportunity we have to worship Christ, or are we truly worshiping? Man, we don't want to fake a relationship. I don't want to be a faker. I want to be a follower. I don't want to break the heart of Christ like Judas did. Judas, he was right there sitting with Jesus. He walked with him. Yet he wastes the opportunity. And there's one last takeaway I want you to see. Well, we can fake a relationship with Christ. We can break the heart of Christ. But understand this morning. We cannot shake the love of Christ. It's interesting. We're told here how the rest of it plays out. Verse 43, and immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12. There again, you have it, one of the 12. With him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. We're told, you know, I used to kind of picture this as like you see on like the movies. You know, this was like a maybe 15, 20 soldiers, you know, how many they can fit on the camera. Actually, did a little research this week. There may have been up to 600 armed Roman soldiers and those working for the Jewish authorities that showed up there to arrest Jesus. Man, that is one big SWAT team. Judas was missing the reality here that Jesus, you know, they didn't have to come and take Jesus. Jesus was going to give his life. You see, I think Judas really, you know, I think Judas was really a more kind of a political, economic revolutionary than a person who really ever, he never really came to understand that Jesus came to redeem us of our sins and to redeem us from the penalty of sin. He just missed it, man. He just failed to ever yield to Jesus' greater mission for his life. But even in the midst of betraying him, look at what happens. It says in verse 44, now the betrayer had given him a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. Verse 45, and when he came, he went up at once and said, Rabbi, and he kissed him. He kissed Jesus as he betrayed him. That was the sign. Back then, guys, another man kissing a man, that was the sign of a deep, deep relationship, a deep friendship, kind of like a bear hug or a firm handshake that we might give today. Adrian Rogers, pastor for so many years, said this, quote, this is the story of a man who kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Folks, I want you to know, Judas just wasted it. But he couldn't shake the love of Christ. Look back up at verse 17. Don't miss this because I'm going to show you something that's not there. Verse 17, and when it was evening, he came with the 12. Now, you think very next thing was verse 18, but actually something happens between verse 17 and verse 18 that Mark doesn't write down. The Gospel of John chapter 13 tells us that between verse 17 and verse 18 of Mark chapter 14, Jesus washes their feet. And Jesus even washed Judas's feet. I can imagine that even as he washed Judas's feet there, as he washed his feet, you know what I'd have been inclined to do? You wash your own stinking feet, Judas. I know what you're getting ready to do, all right? No, you know what, Jesus? He washes his feet, and I can see Jesus looking up at Judas with that knowing look. Judas, I love you. I love you. I love you. Put your faith and trust in me. A sinner may go to hell unsaved, but they never go to hell unloved. Judas couldn't shake the love of Christ. But Judas wasted the opportunity. He shows up with the soldiers. He kisses Jesus, and they lead Jesus off. Judas failed to accept that Jesus had come to give his life for our sins. He came thinking that they would take the life. But Jesus had already decided to give his life. I want to ask the worship team to come, and we're going to, as we close out this special worship service on this Palm Sunday, we're going to listen to a song, and we're going to invite you to sing it along with us, and I'm going to be down front, and if you're here today and you're not sure you have a real, authentic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you, please, during this song, you come to Jesus because Jesus came for you and gave his life for you. I hope and pray you'll remember that this day. You know, it's been said before, it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was his love for you and me. That's what kept him there. I want to pray for us that on this Palm Sunday, we will, each and every one of us, embrace the love of Christ and not waste the opportunity before us. He is so worthy of our worship, folks. He's so worthy of our worship. So let's come to terms with what Jesus has done for us. That's going to prepare us better than anything else for the week ahead and for the next great, great opportunity we gather together. This coming Sunday, Easter Sunday. Father, be with us now as we respond to you. Lord, help us to embrace what you've done for us, Jesus Christ. You gave your life for us. They didn't take your life from you. You gave your life for us. May we not waste the opportunity to worship you this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.